from North State Public Radio, I'm Andre Bayek with your headlines for Thursday, November 17th. School officials in Paradise are focusing on the mental health of students as the town continues its recovery 4 years after the campfire.
The problem when a town burns down is there's families move away, the services that were there aren't there, the buildings that were there that held people together are no longer standing.
We'll have that story later in this report, but first we start in Chico, where the Beth Israel Synagogue was targeted in a hate crime earlier this month. As NSPR's Ken Duvall reports, the incident is reflective of an increase in hate crimes in Chico this year.
On November 2nd, a sign and mural outside of the synagogue were found to have been vandalized and defaced with swastikas and obscene language. Lisa Rappaport is the spiritual leader of Beth Israel Synagogue.
In that same week that this happened here on our little corner at 14th and Hemlock, there were similar incidences throughout the whole country. This is not a unique, isolated thing happening here. And I think that that's what's been very concerning, is to see the uptick in anti-Semitism. The data is just sort of off the charts.
In January of this year, anti-Semitic flyers were also distributed in a North Chico neighborhood. According to statistics provided by the Chico Police Department, there have been 21 hate crimes in the city since 2019, half of those occurring this year. Rappaport said, as disturbing as this hate crime is, she's been greatly encouraged by the response from the community.
A lot of positive energy has come from it, a lot of strengthening within our community because of the support that we've received, not only from the local Jewish community and the extended Jewish community throughout the country, but also just our friends and supporters and neighbors here. That's been very comforting and strengthening for us.
When asked what people should take away from this incident, Rappaport pointed to history. November 9th marked the 84th anniversary of Kristallnacht, when Nazi thugs rampaged through Jewish neighborhoods across Germany, vandalizing businesses and breaking into homes, while bystanders either stood by or joined in. Rappaport says the community should and must be ever vigilant. A 36-year-old suspect was arrested and charged with various crimes related to the incident. Rappaport says she's very appreciative of the support Beth Israel has received from the Chico Police Department. For NSPR News, I'm Ken Duvall.
Moving to state news, after 2 years of record-breaking surpluses, California could see a $25 billion budget deficit next year. Cap Radio's Nicole Nixon reports.
The nonpartisan Legislative Analyst's Office says lower income tax revenue and stock market drop-offs could mean billions less next year for state lawmakers to spend. While the state has enough in its rainy day funds to cover the shortfall, the LAO recommends saving that for a potential recession. Instead, legislative analyst Gabe Pettix says while homelessness and climate programs are clear priorities for lawmakers, they might consider pausing funding for certain initiatives.
They could adjust the timing of the rollout of the funding to, help manage the near-term budget pressure.
Legislative leaders say they're determined to protect recent investments in education and other areas. Lawmakers set aside tens of billions in surplus funds since 2021 to pay down debts and add to state savings accounts. Nicole Nixon, Cap Radio News.
Some Democratic lawmakers in Washington and immigrant youth leaders held a news conference yesterday calling on Congress to enact permanent bipartisan solutions for Dreamers before the end of the year.
Now is the time to get this done.
One of the speakers was California Senator Alex Padilla.
We're here because this is a crucial moment. We face the urgency of a running clock because of litigation. We also face the threat of a running clock because the House is on the verge of falling into Republican majority hands.
DACA recipients worry that if Congress doesn't act during the lame duck session, the program will end up getting axed. The program, which stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, has allowed more than 830,000 young people to live and work without an immediate fear of deportation. Republicans have historically been divided on DACA. The Supreme Court is considering overturning its ruling on affirmative action. In California, a ballot measure passed decades ago already makes the state a test case for what's to come. Cap Radio's Sarah Mises-Tan explains.
Since the passage of Prop 209 in 1996, public universities are not allowed to use race in the admissions process. Kevin Johnson, dean at the UC Davis Law School, says in the wake of 209's passage, public universities saw a sharp decline in diversity, namely in the number of African-American students.
Over time, universities attempted to come up with ways consistent with the law to better approach admissions. There's been some success there, but it's been challenging for many California universities.
Gary Orfield is a professor at UCLA's Civil Rights Project. He says the UC system has never recovered since taking consideration of race out of admissions decisions.
Basically, we're a society that's organized around race. Everything from prenatal care to life expectancy relates to race in the United States. You know, if you don't consider race, you're trying to solve a problem that's related to race without talking about race.
And Orfield worries if the Supreme Court overturns affirmative action, similar situations could play out across the country. Sarah Mises-Tan, CAP Radio News.
And finally, last week marked 4 years since the 2018 campfire. NSPR's Alex Dutson spoke with young people in the area about the strength of the community and the ways it's still recovering.
On the day the campfire destroyed the town of Paradise, Corey Lindstrom was riding the bus to high school.
Our bus driver comes on the PA and she's like, there's the fires in Concal, it's moving away from Paradise, we don't have to worry, there's nothing going on, everyone's going to go to school and be fine. And I look over to my left and I'm looking at Sawmill Peak and there's flames burning down the side of the hill. And in my head, I was just like, whoa, she lied.
He and his family evacuated to Chico as the fire spread through the town. Now, more than 4 years later, he says the town's recovery is promising.
The town's coming back. We have, you know, places to eat again open. There's actual gas stations in Paradise.
But he says he notices that the effects of the fire can be felt just under the surface.
Like, everyone's starting to kind of come back to their normal senses, but it's still like super tense. Like, if you say the wrong thing to somebody, they'll just snap immediately. It's definitely weird, but at the same time, you can't be mad at the person like for them snapping at you because you know what they went through.
Carrie Dawes is an administrator at Paradise Unified School District and halftime principal of Ridgeview High School, which is a continuation school that works with at-risk youth. She says students' anxiety can be triggered by reminders of the fire.
Anytime there's a fire in the area, anytime you can smell smoke, might be a barbecue, it could be anything, there are triggers causing anxiety and depression, and we see that. And it manifests itself in the classrooms, off-task behavior, or they're on their cell phones.
She says the district has heavily focused on the emotional needs of its students and hired social-emotional counselors who rotate between every school in the district. Robert Lester is a recovery counselor who works with students in schools across Paradise. He says the fire is just one factor of the trauma being felt by students in the area.
What happened is an inciting incident, but trauma is how is it carried afterward. The problem when a town burns down is there's families move away, the services that were there aren't there, the buildings that were there that held people together are no longer standing. And so how you hold that experience afterward is troubled, is made much more difficult because you have to rebuild.
High school senior Corey Lindstrom says students have processed the fire in different ways and at different rates, which he says can cause some friction.
There's a group of people that are like, it's been 4 years, get over it. And then there's a group of people that are like, it's only been 4 years. Why are you so over it so fast?
Dakota DeLay is a senior at Ridgeview High School. He and his family lost their house in the fire and have since moved back to Paradise. He says he's seen growth in many of his peers after the fire.
There's just a lot of people that were like really, really quiet before the fire, and now they're like out there and actually talking and hanging out with friends now. And it's like, that's crazy to see the other side of you. I think it took people to where they thought life was basically like a video game where they wouldn't die, and told them, hey, this is life. Get it together and bring it back to reality.
DeLay says he's seen the community rally together around recovery efforts, with many, including himself, committed to staying and healing in the area.
I plan on staying in Paradise for the rest of my life.
Why?
Why? Because this is home. One of my neighbors, his son was lost in the fire. After the fire, he moved back up here. He's like, this is home. This is where my heart belongs.
For NSPR News, I'm Alex Dutson.
And those are your headlines for Thursday, November 17th. Our theme song is Burrow, and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For NSPR News, I'm Andre Bayek.